What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Masters University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transform. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and today we're talking about autism spectrum disorder, or autism, or being on the spectrum, or whatever you're calling that. And this is part two of a two-part series. If you didn't listen to the last episode, I would encourage you actually stop here, go back and listen to that episode, because they are intended to go together. I've been learning a lot about autism and reading and some of my experience in counseling and getting ready for these past two episodes. But really, this wasn't my idea. Not that I'm blaming. It's your fault, dear listener. No, it's really come from multiple questions. And I started last episode by kind of reading the different scenarios and emails that I've received. You guys have just been really helpful to think through autism. And in all of the lies my therapist told me, or mind versus brain, or all of our transformed episodes, I haven't really talked a lot about autism. So many of you are just writing in to say, hey, Dr. Gifford, what about autism? And I think that's a fair delineation or a fair deduction, or we got to then start to think like, okay, is autism really a mental illness? What are we talking about? And that's what these two episodes have tried to contribute. So if you remember, the label autism is said to be, this is by the National Institute of Mental Health, a neurological and developmental disorder that affects how people interact with others, communicate, learn, and behave. Although autism can be diagnosed at any age, it is described as a development or developmental disorder because symptoms generally appear in the first 2 years of life. In fact, one of the things that we said last week, and in your own research, I would encourage you to go study this. Most people don't develop autism later in life, but rather those behaviors and those symptoms have always been present. And so it wasn't like the first 18 years of your life, you had no social oddities, and then at year 19, all of a sudden you develop these weird light sensitivities and social interactions, but rather that those were present and they've just become more and more apparent. So of course, diagnostic inflation has been a part of autism because there's not an objective way to diagnose. That's not to say that it doesn't exist, to be clear, but it's also to say that now you have a spectrum and things that used to just be socially awkward or what was called Asperger's at one point. It has now been lumped into this one category of autism and different levels of being on the spectrum, level 1, 2, 3, whatever that is. And if you're high functioning autistic, then that generally means that you live a happy, generally normal, undisrupted life. But if you're severely autistic, then maybe you have a caretaker, maybe you can't live by yourself, you have to live with roommates. Like, it's all encapsulated in that. And of course, when that happens, then the diagnoses go up, as I mentioned last episode. So go back, listen to that episode. I left off by really thinking biblically, and today I want to try to help you frame the context biblically. So the first point was autism isn't a mental illness, just to be clear, because that category of mental illness isn't an accurate category. Remember, your mind cannot get ill. So if you're using the term mental illness and autism, you're not using the right terms. Autism, as even has been used here lately, is something like a developmental or neurodevelopmental. That's the buzzword right now. Why is that a better term? Because there seems to be biological components behind autism. That's why you were born that way. That's why you had those idiosyncrasies since you were young. Because you're born with autism, or what's being called autism, it's something about the way that you process information. It's something about neurology, neuroscience. It's something about your biology. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's wrong. And this is where we left off last episode. So if you have a Bible, I'd like you to open it up to Romans chapter 12. When I say wrong, hear me say like it doesn't necessarily mean that's a problem, or it doesn't necessarily mean that autism needs to be fixed, as if we need to eradicate, change, or get you back to a standard of normal living. And I am thinking through the different levels of autism. If we're talking about severely or barely, autism isn't necessarily a matter of wrong that we need to fix, but rather thinking about a person with the idea of giftedness. So God has given all of us gifts and capacities that we have. If you use the Matthew 25 parable of the talents, if you look at 1 Peter 4 or Romans chapter 12, that God is the one that gives us gifts. And the way that we are to self-conceptualize in Romans 12, verse 3, is according to the gifts that God has given. Verse 3 says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." And that is in the context of thinking about yourself. As weird as that may sound, your self-conception is informed by God, and he tells you how to think about you. Then Paul goes on and says, "For in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, if service, if teaching, if exhortation, if contributing in generosity, if leading, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." How do you think about yourself biblically? Well, according to the scripture, the way that God has revealed who you are, your self-conception is only as accurate as it matches God's word. So that's the starting point. How has God made you, or how has God made those with autism? Exactly the way he wanted to make them. Psalm 139, we know that even in the gestation, like even while your mom was pregnant with you, God was designing you and he was knitting your inmost parts. Psalm 139. Romans 12, God made you with the gifts that you have. So if we really do believe that God has designed us and he is good and wise and sovereign and perfectly in control, then that means that even things like autism, things where you would say, hey, that is not normal, or most people don't experience that, we have to reframe as Christians and say, well, that's just the way that God has made you. And this isn't, we're not trying to be cheesy, but this is the way that God has made you, and God has given you a certain type of gifts. So that is the unique way that God has made a person that we are calling autistic. So I am aware, and I'm sure you are aware, especially those of you to whom or for whom autism has really affected your life, your kid, yourself, you guys have received a diagnosis with autism. I'm aware that it brings about unique challenges, and let's just be candid about a couple of those challenges. We know that autism primarily affects social interaction. That's one of the top ways that it manifests itself. In any of the definitions, you're going to notice that social interaction, behavioral, if I go back to learning how to interact with others, that is the first thing that the National Institute on Mental Health says. If you're learning how to interact with other people, communicate, learn, and behave, that can be affected by autism. What social interaction are we talking about? Conversational skills. You're interacting with someone that is autistic, or you yourself struggle with autism, and you recognize that there are just certain conversational skills that are hard for you to pick up on, that you're not great at sarcasm, and you're not great at keeping a conversation on track. You're not great at reading social cues. Am I talking too much? Am I not talking enough? Am I dominating a conversation? Am I redirecting a conversation? Those things are social interactions. And at times, those that are severely autistic, they're struggling to know what is an appropriate conversation to have. Should I talk about that at all? And yes, I would love to bring up my personal hobby or talk about a personal interest or dinosaurs or magical characters, but if we're being candid, that's probably one of the greatest challenges. And this is where often breakdowns in friendships and depth of relationship comes, because communication is really one of those foundational skills. And if we're being candid, that's one of the most apparent. Other things are like stimulation. From what parents have told me, and I primarily have worked with parents of autistic kids rather than counseling those with autism, that as a kid, there are things that are just unusual in terms of stimulation or feeling overwhelmed. So light, you know, bright lights, flashing lights, like those things are stimulating and perhaps overstimulating. Sound in busy environments. Remember, I mentioned a student here at Masters, and she said that even the chapel, when she would go to chapel, the lights and the sound, it was like overwhelming for her. So she would often like to cover her ears or wear earplugs. When we talk about sound and structure and light, structure, think of a predictable schedule. Think of a person who is, they really appreciate regularity. And it can get into the pattern of compulsive desires, OCD. But when we're talking about some of the struggles, when things are not predictable for those with autism, it often throws them off significantly. So that structure, that regularity, a pattern, that's not a, for some of you, that would be a prison sentence, but for those with autism, those are part of the unique challenges that we recognize that structure really benefits those. So those are challenges, and I think we just have to be honest about them. But notice none of those are inherently wrong. And if you don't have autism, we also have inherent challenges, and there are those of us that don't have autism, and we would bring our own set of challenges. So you could argue that are the challenges more severe? Yeah, in some cases, I think that would be a fair thing to say. But also, we just want to be careful to say 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation overtaking you that's not common to man, that other people are experiencing what those with autism experience, maybe to different degree or in different context. So we got to stop. It's already been 11 minutes, so let me stop. I'm going to turn it over to Jimmy, and then we'll come back and continue this thought of biblically thinking through autism. We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Greg Gifford in just a moment. I don't know how this episode is landing for you. Some of us, it's pretty personal. You hear the word autism, and you're not thinking categories or labels. You're thinking about your own kid, right? Your friend. Maybe it's you, even. I appreciate what Dr. Gifford is doing in this conversation because he's not trying to flatten it. Now, if you know someone who is wrestling with this in real life, maybe it's you, maybe it's a parent trying to figure out how to disciple their child, or a student who feels out of place all the time, send them this episode. Seriously, send them this episode. This could really help them. And this is the kind of clarity that Dr. Gifford and the rest of our fellows bring every single day here at Fortis Institute. And it's all free if you download Fortis Plus. That's right, Fortis Plus is our app that is full of hundreds of hours of content, and we're adding new content every single day. And when we say free, that's what we mean. No paywall, there's no catch, not going to ask for your credit card now or even later. You're just going to get real voices dealing with real stuff like this biblically. I'm talking about anxiety and autism and parenting and marriage, theology, issues that young men are facing, issues that young women are facing. It's all in there. Listen, we've been doing this for over 25 years. First as Wretched, then as Gospel Partners Media, now as Fortis Institute. If you believe in what we're doing here, if it's shaping the way you think, the way you parent, the way you disciple, would you pray about joining us as an ongoing monthly Gospel Partner? That's what makes Fortis Plus free. That's what keeps this podcast going. Just visit fortisinstitute.org right now and find out what it would look like in your life if you were to join us as an ongoing monthly Gospel Partner. It takes people just like you who believe in what we're doing and who say, I want to invest in this to get this in front of as many people as possible. You can find out more at fortisinstitute.org. But like I always say, your local church comes first. Make sure you're giving there before you give anywhere else. Also, real quick, before we get back to Greg, what he's doing here, he does the same thing just about every single day at the Master's University, where he teaches the next generation of biblical counselors. So if you've ever thought about stepping into the world of biblical counseling, not just talking about the hard things, but helping people through them, TMU should be on your radar. The Master's University, where they're training people to walk into the deep end with clarity and with care. You can check out more right now at masters.edu/transformed. And now let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transformed.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. I know it's probably felt like information overload as I've been working through these two episodes, and I do feel a bit constrained myself as I have so much to try to communicate to you. But we've been thinking through autism biblically, and so far I've said it brings challenges, but it's not necessarily a matter of wrong that needs to be fixed. The challenges also bring blessings. And I want to be candid about those too. When you and I interact with individuals who are autistic, or you're parenting, or perhaps you yourself have been diagnosed as autistic, oftentimes there are some really significant advantages that accompany autism. For instance, autistic individuals are usually highly intelligent, like highly intelligent. IQs that are beyond what us mortals experience, the ability to remember and memorize, oftentimes with a photographic memory of exact locations, exact details. So you ask about a specific date or a specific time, and those with autism can often recall those things quite quickly. Math, objective sciences, those bring a unique blessing. Those with autism are often really good at focus. Some would argue like too good, like almost obsessive, but focus and drive, like latch on to something, see it all the way through, become an expert at it. When you think of some of the blessings, those aren't the worst challenges in the world, are they? Like, I am not a man with a photographic memory. And in college, I had a buddy that he could just look at it and then he would know it within 5 minutes, but I would have to repeat it and study it, repeat it. I know that my focus can work when it needs to, but I don't struggle with being over-focused. I don't lose track of myself in a project. And I'm definitely not highly intelligent. You guys know that by now. Oh man, sad but true. I was looking up people who have had maybe a significant impact, and these aren't believers by any means, but I was looking up famous people who have made an impact and they themselves are said to have autism. So here is a couple of people that have been diagnosed with autism or would said to be autistic today. Number one, this comes from the ABA centersofamerica.com, 12 famous people with autism. Number one, Albert Einstein. Many speculate that Einstein would be diagnosed as neurodivergent today. There are accounts that describe him as a loner, difficult to communicate with, and highly focused for decades on a single problem. Einstein. Dan Aykroyd, if you remember the actor and the screenwriter, SNL guy. Yeah, I think he was SNL guy. Yeah, Ghostbusters. He was diagnosed with Asperger's, and he said that one of his obsessions included obsessions with ghosts and law enforcement. If you haven't seen Ghostbusters, that means that you were born after the year 2000. Bow, bow. Anthony Hopkins, actor, exceptional acting skills. He played some pretty creepy characters throughout his career, but Anthony Hopkins. Tim Burton, movie director. He's the Nightmare Before Christmas guy. So he is said to have had neurodivergent or autistic behavior. Charles Darwin. It was believed that he had autism. He was known to be very quiet and he kept to himself and he preferred to express himself through writing. Emily Dickinson, Bobby Fischer, the master chess player. Bill Gates is on this list. And it's said that he even has like a rocking motion, monotone speech patterns. It's hard for him to maintain eye contact. Okay, the list continues to go on. Michelangelo, Isaac Newton, Satoshi Tajiri, the creator of Pokemon, and of course, at the very end, Elon Musk. And apparently in 2021, Elon Musk announced on Saturday Night Live that he was on the autism spectrum, according to this website. So why do I bring up these individuals? Well, these are not the exemplars of the faith that I'm trying to emulate, and I'm not commending them to you. But what I am showing you is that autism can bring a unique blessing, which is that there are many of these that have made significant impacts, and because of their giftedness, they found a way to use their giftedness in a way that it provides a meaningful career, it serves others. So I want you to think, just because a person is diagnosed with autism doesn't necessarily mean that's a problem. And these individuals are in evidence that, in fact, autism can be a blessing and provide strength and focus and intelligence and capacities where those are all needed. So if you're thinking through these biblically at this macro level, then see that, yeah, there are challenges, but there's also blessings. That's the key takeaway from that. Okay, here is my sense. Biblical counselors, we're not receiving personal data inventory because someone is autistic. Someone's not reaching out for counseling for that. Usually it's the challenges that are being faced because you are autistic, the social challenges, the work challenges, those types of things. Now, what I would encourage is that, first of all, if you are an individual who is diagnosed with autism or one of your children's diagnosed with autism, I would encourage you to talk with wise, biblically informed parents or counselors who have experience with this area. One lady, a colleague of mine back at Low Country Biblical Counseling Center, her name is Joanna Presley. In fact, I was reading one of her articles this morning with ACBC. It's entitled Psychological Terminology on the Autism Spectrum. Joanna is one of those ladies, I believe, that her husband. I almost said one of her husbands. One of her husbands. Sorry, Rich. And her husband and one of her children are autistic. And so she's able, as a biblical counselor, to really frame the whole thing really well. And when I want to learn about autism, I go to Joanna. I trust her. I trust her worldview. She believes in the sufficiency of Scripture. So I'm going to a Joanna type. And if she's booked or too busy and you're actually trying to get a counseling appointment with her, then I would see, like, does she recommend anybody? Who can you go to? But Joanna Presley is the type of person that I want to go to. I also encourage you to talk to parents of autistic kids. Learn from them. Learn what types of structures helped. Learn what didn't help. Because often parents have this really down-home knowledge of autism. They don't really care a whole lot about the diagnosis. They're just learning how to parent their child in very unique ways. So learn and listen to them. Listen. So I've said talk to those who are experienced in autism, parents, biblical counselors, but also listen for giftedness versus sin sanctification issues. So we're never going to justify sinful behavior, but we also know that certain factors encourage us to be gracious with those who are displaying an autistic behavior. And Joanna gives an example of this in her podcast. She says that if a husband doesn't recognize the way that he's talking is coming across as condescending, then he may not intentionally be sinning. He needs to be informed. He needs to grow in understanding the way that his communication is coming across. So there's some nuance there. Yet if he knows he's being rude and he continues to talk in the same way, it's like, okay, yes, you are using corrupting. Your manner is not correct. Your speech is not gracious. Yes, that's true. But being odd and not knowing how you're communicating is not inherently a sin. So when autism encourages a believer to sin, we're still going to graciously confront and do so while understanding of the underlying issues. So as a Christian, we never justify sin, and we would never say that your body can make you sin. That's true for autism as well. So I can be sleepy and have an encouragement to sin, and I can have autism and struggle to be gracious in conversation. But yet as a believer who has God's Spirit indwelling me, I never have to give in to that. So we want to be clear that autism cannot make you sin. We just want to make sure that we dive into, does that person know they're being unkind? Do they know that they're lacking grace? And if they do, okay, this is more of a willful sin. But if they don't know, then perhaps we need to educate and disciple them and then hold them to greater clarity of what their words should and should not be doing. So make sure you create a category for that. And obviously, odd social behavior is not inherently sinful. So you have a category for that. It can be odd, but it doesn't make it sinful. It doesn't mean you have to repent of that thing. So find that category. And I don't know if you're ever going to find a book that's going to give you all the answers for when that is. I think what you're going to have is the Bible as the standard of what is obedience and disobedience to the Lord. And you're going to have to take each of those unusual behaviors and run it back through the filter of God's word to say, hey, is this something that is a sin, or is this something that's just an odd social behavior that probably could grow a little bit and we could work on and we could coach them through? The last principle that I'll give you, and this is not from a man who considers himself an expert, but I've seen a few things, is learn and listen while applying God's word. Don't go to a secular therapist to help out with autism. That secular therapist brings so much baggage. They're going to have a secular worldview. They're not committed to Christ. Guys, let's just go to someone who's going to use the Bible and they have some experience in autism. Can I commend you to that? And then you don't have to filter out all of the behaviorism. You don't have to filter out all of this wacky worldview that's coming with it. So just because your insurance takes them doesn't mean that's going to be what's best for you or your family. So learn and listen to this individual in your life that's struggling with autism or that has autism. It may not be a struggle. And then do your best to not go to a secular therapist. We want God's word to inform us, not man-made wisdom. It's my 2 cents. So I got to be done for today. Let me pray for us. I would love to hear clarifying questions if you want to write into greg@transformed.org. Remember, the more concise and direct you can be in getting to the question, the more responsive I can be. So let me pray for us. Lord, I do thank you for our brothers and sisters and some of our children, our daughters and our sons that have a unique giftedness that we're calling autism. And we're thankful for that giftedness. We recognize the strength and the beauty of all individuals. We're all image bearers, and you have given all of us certain talents. And so help us all to recognize that autism has a certain level of talents like those with no autism does. And may we rejoice in that and just seek to be faithful. Lord, may you give biblical counselors wisdom, and may you raise up more biblical counselors to help us really care for those that are struggling with autism and to do that in a way that is wise and biblical. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.